الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أولياؤه إلا المتقون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So in the last few days, we, while discussing this path of the righteous, we mentioned two things. One was muraqabah and the other was muhasibah. In other words, there are two types of zikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should do daily. Now, along with the zikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next thing that is really important on this path is to get ilm, and to get ilm from the ulama'i muttaqeen, from the righteous scholars, to acquire ilm from the righteous scholars. And every word there is important in that statement. In fact, if we look at this effort of da'wah and tabligh, they have 6 points. And there they have conjoined ilm and zikr point. Ilm and zikr, it's treated as one. And the reason is because ilm and zikr, they go together. If a person doesn't have ilm, then that can also be a source of misguidance. But it really matters that where are you getting your ilm from? And if you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that we should get the ilm from the ulama, the scholars who are muttaqeen, those who are righteous and pious. All right, is the sound clear for everyone? All right, okay. So, important to get ilm from the ulama who are muttaqeen. To get the knowledge of deen from the muttaqeen in ulama, the pious ulama, the salihin ulama, the righteous scholars, the awliya ulama, those scholars were the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look, what does Allah ta'ala say in the Quran? So, one very foundational ayah that all of us should remember. Allah Ta'ala says that فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So let's translate the second part first. إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. But if you don't have ilm, if you don't have knowledge, so what should you do? So did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that you should read faqra'u, read the Quran on your own, or reflect on your own, or pick whatever you think is easy, or educate yourself, self-educate yourself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say any of that. Rather, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in this ayah? Fas'alu. The Arabic is su'al, that you must ask. You must go and inquire from a person. Don't try to self-educate yourself. Fas'alu, go ask. And it's a hukum, it's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So the first thing that the ayat mentions is that if you don't know, then you need to ask. You need to ask. But then you would think that, okay, if I don't have ilm, knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would tell me that go ask the people of ilm, the ahli ilm. Ashraf been told in this ayah that first alu ahlal ilmi in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. And that would have made complete sense. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that. Allah says, first alu ahla zikri. That ask the people of zikr if you don't know. Ask the people of remembrance if you don't know. Ask the people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often if you don't know. Now, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that? The reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a signal, an ishara, that if you want a knowledge, it shouldn't be just mere information. It shouldn't be just for information. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a sign here that if you really want knowledge, it should not just be for intellectual nourishment, intellectual edification, just at information. No, that shouldn't be the reason. The only reason you should want the ilm of deen is that that ilm should lead you to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only reason you want the ilm, the knowledge, is so that it helps you to increase in your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only reason you want to know is because you want to feel. You want that knowledge so that the knowledge can now impact your heart, transform your heart, transform your being. And your heart will submit to that knowledge. Yes, the way to enter into the heart is through your mind. And that's why you need to know. But the goal and the end is not just the mind. The mind is a carrier. The mind is a pathway. The mind is an avenue to get to the heart. The heart is the target. Our Sheikh once used to explain this, that I'm addressing your mind, but my goal is to get to the heart. And in that sense, this ilm is so important that we get this ilm, to get this ilm from the Ahle Zikr, that get the ilm from the people of Zikr, because you want to get this ilm, and this ilm has to go into your heart. So get the knowledge from the people who feel, who have feelings for Allah and also have knowledge of Allah, both, because that is why you want to know. Get knowledge from those people who know Allah and who know the commandments of Allah, both, because that is why you want to know. You want to know the commandments of Allah so that you can now know Allah. You can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you can feel that closeness and nearness with Allah. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. So that means that we have to get this ilm. So this is the first ayah to remember. To get this ilm from the people who are the ahle zikr, if we don't know. All right. Now, the second thing to remember is that to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become a true believer, we actually need this ilm of deen. We need to have a desire for ilm, a yearning for ilm, and we should try to seek the knowledge of deen. Because without the knowledge of deen, we won't know what is our destination. We won't understand what is our purpose. We won't be able to identify our goal. Any traveler who doesn't know what their destination is, what their goal and the purpose is, it's going to find it more difficult to travel that journey. It's an aimless journey then. Person is just wandering here and there if you really don't know what the destination is. So the knowledge of the deen, acquiring and seeking the knowledge of the deen is really important because it helps us to know what is our destination. What is our goal? What is our purpose? But again, that knowledge of deen has to be acquired from the knowledgeable and the pious and righteous scholars. Ask the people who have a zikr, not just the people of ilm. So Sheikh Hassan Basri rahmatullah was one of the greatest of the tabi'een. It's mentioned that him and a friend of his, they used to go, and when they were very young, they would go to another one of the tabi'een who was a friend of Allah, a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they would go sit with him in that person's sohbah in their company in this way of the pious, right? Try to put themselves in the company of the righteous to try to purify their heart. And then Hasan Basri rahmatullah, he says this about himself, that, me and my friend, we went to the same sheikh and we spent the same time and we made the same effort in order to purify our heart, tazkiyah. But I was able to go faster and my friend was much slower. And then one day, our sheikh, when he looked at me, he explained this to me. And he said that, Hassan, you are going faster than your friend on this path. You're traveling faster than your friend. And the reason is because you have ilm. You have ilm of deen. And your friend doesn't. Now, what this teaches us is that having ilm is going to determine the pace that you will have in this journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who has ilm of deen and they're also doing zikr of Allah and trying to draw close, they will travel at a much faster speed than the other person who is not a person of ilm and just simply doing his own zikr, but not practicing or not acquiring or seeking knowledge. Why? It's very simple. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that Al-ilmu nurun. Al-ilmu nurun. That ilm is nur. Ilm is light. Ilm is illumination. And we need to remember, we need to follow this hidayah, this guidance from the Prophet ﷺ. So if the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, this is part of hidayat. And when the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that al-ilmu nurun, that knowledge is this spiritual radiant light, then we need to be guided by that. We need that nur. We need that light. So, why do we think that we don't need this nur? Why do we think that all of the other knowledges and education of the world, that's what I need, that's needed, but this ilm of deen was not needed? We need this nur. Yes, maybe not everyone will become an altogether complete alim, but we need to get involved in seeking knowledge of the deen as much as possible. We need also to drink at that same fountain, at that same fountain of the nur of the ilm of deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give whosoever tawfiq. Some might get the ability to drink more, others will drink less. But we need to drink from that same fountain. We need this nur in our life, this nur of ilm, along with the nur of zikr. And specifically, especially for those who are traveling this path, those who want to draw closer to Allah, who want to acquire nearness to Allah, they must try to acquire ilm. And the reason is not only because in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that acquiring knowledge, farizatun ala kulli muslimin wa muslimatin, acquiring sacred knowledge is a fariza, it's mandatory for every Muslim man and a woman, not only because of that hadith, but also because of this other hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that al-ilmu nurun, that I want to get more and more ilm so that I can get more and more nur, that radiance, that light, that spiritual light into my heart. And Then there is also a saying that some people say that al ilmu hijabun, that the ilm can also become an hijab, hijabul akbar. And what they meant, and this is also important, as we begin this journey of acquiring knowledge, that knowledge of deen sometimes can also become a veil over the heart. Understand this. When does this happen? This happens when that knowledge does not come with the remembrance of Allah. It doesn't come with the zikr. Why? Because that knowledge that doesn't come with the zikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that that knowledge doesn't come with humility. Knowledge itself, right? And if they get ill and they don't have zikr, they don't have the remembrance of Allah, then that will guarantee to lead them to conceit, to ujub. Guarantee. There's no other chance. If they just have ilm, it's just knowledge, information, and they know a lot, then if they have ilm, you can just complete that equation that ilm minus zikr equals ujub, that this conceit, self-love. And that's why it's sometimes important that a person gets and takes both of these things together. Some people might begin their journey by being first on zikr, be on zikr first, remembrance of Allah first, and then we come later to ilm and we get both ilm and zikr of Allah. And then other people might begin their journey with ilm first, get the ilm, but then also make a parallel effort on trying to get the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well in our life. Because if a person only has ilm, if you only get the ilm part, only ilm part, and then we don't have the zikr, ilm minus zikr, then that will lead a person to concede to ujub. The best will be able to contain that ujub, and the worst will fall into the worst of sins, which is arrogance, kibr, pride. You know, the levels of arrogance, it begins ujub, it begins with ujub. Ujub means to have conceit, to think, to love yourself, to self-love, conceit, vanity, different names for that. And then this develops further and becomes into something called kibr. Kibr means that not only do you have these feelings of vanity and conceit, but then you also think that you're better than others. And then the final degree is takabbur, arrogance, which means that you have feelings of vanity and conceit, plus person thinks that we are better than others, plus now a person treats others, any action, they treat others as if they are inferior to us. So because, you know, alhamdulillah, this is the tafsir of zikr, that if a person has the zikr, the remembrance of Allah, then ilm won't lead to conceit. Ilm will lead to nur, to light. So the people who are learning the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they must also learn the ilm of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people who are learning the ilm of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they must also learn the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why these two things go together. Sheikhul Hadees Maulana Zakir Rahmatullah, he's put these two things together in the nisab, in the curriculum of Dawah and Tabligh as well, ilm and zikr. Because these two things, they go together with each other. They both bring nur. The nur of ilm and the nur of zikr, you become nurun ala nur, light upon light. And if a person doesn't have that zikr, then that ilm is going to eventually lead a person to pride. And Allah Ta'ala mentions that even in the Quran, so many places. For example, one place Allah says that, I'm just paraphrasing, that I will turn away from my signs and my revelation those people who display arrogance and pride, and they treat others as inferior to them on the face of this earth, without having any right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do so. Allah turns such people from away from his signs. So ilm, when it is accompanied with the zikr and the remembrance of Allah, it actually gives us more humility. And this is one of the reasons why our own Sheikh, he was explaining this once and said that because the ulama, the people of knowledge, the scholars, they already have this noor, they, if they come on this path of zikr as well, then they can get the closeness of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very quickly. In a few days or weeks, they can get the closeness of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to someone who is a ghair alim, as opposed to someone who doesn't have knowledge, and they also begin that the journey. For the other person who doesn't have knowledge, it will take him several years. But for a person of knowledge, when they come on this path of zikr, then they can travel that journey very quickly, take him or her a few days or a week, a few days or weeks. Why? Because they have already spent the years in the madrasa or in the institute, wherever they're studying, they've put their years in. They put the years in acquiring that noor of ilm. And, they put in those years. And now all they need is just the icing on the cake, which is zikr, and they can advance very quickly in a few days, in a few weeks. That's why some of the mashayikh, they would say that if a true seeker who is also a person of knowledge, a knowledge of deen, alim, they comes to me, they would say that you come to me and stay with me for 40 days, spend 40 days with me, and you will get the noor and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the end of those 40 days. Subhanallah. And then there's also this hadith about the 40 days. So it's not just a weak riwayah, but it's something which we see in authentic narrations as well, that one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 days sincerely with ikhlas, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the springs of wisdom and ma'rifah flow from that person's heart to his tongue. So 40 days. So they would, the mashayikh, they would say sometimes that a person of ilm, if they spend a few days with them, because they've already spent the years acquiring ilm, very quickly they'll be able to attain that nearness and closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, like we mentioned yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday, is that practically speaking, that how can a person get this ill? We should spend however much time we can. And again, the same principle is going to apply here as well. First, regularity, then quantity, and then quality. So don't think that on day one, I'm not the best student. I don't really understand. Please don't take my test in Arabic. Please, no, don't worry about those things. Don't exam me. Right? So first, don't worry about these things. All we want to see in the beginning is just your regularity. That is it. Don't worry about how weak a student we are. If you're not able to understand, not things are not making sense, things are not opening up. First, all we want to see on this journey at the beginning is just irregularity, just irregularity. Then we want to see some effort to start doing it a bit more, quantity, a bit more, a bit more. Once you have that irregularity, once you have that irregularity, and you start doing a bit more, then Allah Ta'ala will open things in your mind as well. Allah Ta'ala will open up your mind as well. The Prophet ﷺ said this in a hadith, that when a person, they do amal, they act on what they know, then Allah will grant them the knowledge of that what they don't know. When they act on what they know, Allah will give them that which they don't know. Allah will give them. Yani Allah will give them that which they don't know, nor could they never have known. It means that amal, your action is what is going to open the door at the end. Your amal, whatever you know, just start practicing that. And your amal will open the door. Amal, your action is what will open the door at the end. So at the start, for beginners, just spend some time. Arrange some time with some scholar, some institute, weekend classes once a week, right? Maybe 1 hour every day, 2 hours every week, whatever you're able to start with, just start. Just start. And with the passage of time, it might take 5 years, no problem. Might take 10 years, no problem. 15 years, no issue. Let it be a long-term journey. Let it be a long-term benefit. It's okay. It's okay. Like when we have children, they go to kindergarten, then first grade, then second grade, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12th grade, 13th grade, then go to college, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, 4 years. And then for those who want to aspire even more, master's, 1 year, 2 year, and then PhD, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, five. And this is 17th, even at the bachelor's level, it's 17 years just to get a petty BA. Just for a petty little BA and a bachelor's or BSc, we are willing to put in 17 years. 17, 16, 17 years. And we're like, we don't think like that, that I'm right now in kindergarten. I'm going to take that many years to get the BSc degree. 17 years. We don't think like that, that I'm in first grade and that many years. We don't think, no problem. We just start. We have no issues with that when it comes to the dunya. You just start. You just say Bismillah and you begin. And that is what we need to do in the Deen of Islam, the sacred knowledge, this knowledge of Deen, this ilm as well. Just say Bismillah and begin. Don't think about the years. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, who's a Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu, who was actually, interestingly, a relatively a latecomer to Islam. And he accepted Islam much later in his life. Because some people like to say, right, that no, I'm a latecomer, I'm an old person. So the example of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala is telling us that no, it's never too late. It's never too late to get that ilm. Never too late. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he went on to narrate the greatest number of ahadith from the Prophet says. He never thought about himself that I'm a latecomer, I'm an old person. It's never too late to begin this journey of ilm. If you think about it, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he could have thought about this, that I missed the first 18 years of prophethood. I missed the first 19 years, 20 years of nabuwat. I'm such a latecomer, such a latecomer, that I'm only able to live with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for about 2, 2.5 years. He didn't think like that. Because as many of you know, that which Sahaba narrated the most, that is Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Allah chose him. Why? Because he had ikhlas. He had sincerity. He had talab. He had desire. When you have sincerity, when you have a deep desire to get this knowledge, it's never too late. Never too late. However late the latecomer comes, if he or she comes with ikhlas and sincerity, and if they come with talab and desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him. Allah ta'ala will give him, will give her. Allah will give them ilm. And then also we should remember that it's about the feeling. The feeling. So the feeling is that you have to love ilm. You have to love knowledge. Fall in love with the knowledge. Love this knowledge of the deen. Look what Allah says in the Quran about this knowledge. That kul hal yastawil ladina ya'lamun وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Can the people of knowledge be ever equal to those who don't have knowledge? No, it's a rhetorical question. They can never be equal. The people of ilm are always going to be more beloved to Allah. Then in other ayat, Allah mentions that we have chosen out of our servants those whom we love. We have chosen them for the knowledge of deen. So those who are acquiring knowledge of deen, it's actually a selection of Allah, a choice of Allah. They're handpicked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're beloved to Allah. It's a sign of Allah's love that Allah gives tawfiq to acquire this knowledge. Those who are on this path of acquiring knowledge, they're so loved by Allah. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever sets out on this path to acquire knowledge, then they are on the path of Jannah. Jannah is seeking that person out. So we should have love. It's a feeling that whenever you sit and acquire knowledge of deen, have love for that knowledge. But now, in our society, this is a very difficult thing. Very difficult thing. We find that people find it difficult to love ilm. And even more difficult, you find people to love the ulama. This is something that we have lost. It's a big tragedy. Big tragedy for the ummah. That we have lost the ilm, lost the love for ilm, and lost the love for the ulama-i haq, the virtuous and pious scholars of our deen, the ahle dhikr, the people of knowledge and the people of zikr, those who combine both things together, we have lost the love for them. And it's not just like you respect them or just listen to their bayan or listen to them. That's not the feeling. It's about love. We have lost that love. We have lost the love for the awliya. We have lost the love for the ulama. And now a person's nafs, it says that we want to just level everyone down at our level, leveling down. And sometimes one has one bad episode with one scholar and they say all the maulvis are like that. All the scholars are like that. All the ulama are like that. That once something happened in my life, and that's enough to make us lose our love for the whole category of ulama. That category of individuals about whom Allah mentions in the Quran that these ulama, innama yakhsha Allahu min ibadihi al-ulama. Allah uses this word in the Quran that among the servants of Allah, those who are have this increase in the khashiyat, who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most are the ulama. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising them for the fear and the khashiyat they have of Allah ta'ala in their hearts. The Prophet ﷺ said about the ulama, al ulama varasatul anbiya. They are the ears, the scholars are the ears of the prophets. Look at the nisbat, look at the connection that they have. What greater nisbat can a person have than this nisbat and connection with the Prophet ﷺ, to be an aid of the Prophet ﷺ? Look at the maqam, look at the rank. There's nothing that can equal this. It's unparalleled. Ulama, the fazilat, the virtue, the merit of ulama. And this is what happens, unfortunately. That one bad story, one bad episode, and a person thinks that's enough to make me lose my love for the whole category of ulama. And what, you know, don't we see this, don't we hear stories in other, for example, doctor, right? Someone must have had some experience with a doctor who misdiagnosed us in our life. Wrong diagnosis. And either all of us would have experienced such a doctor or maybe know of someone who kept us waiting and waiting for hours and hours in our line. And then finally, when the doctor, it was our turn, he gave us hardly 3 minutes. Did that mean that we stop respecting the medical profession? Does that mean we stop respecting the medical profession? No, we still love doctors. We still love doctors. Mashallah, we love our sons to become doctors. It doesn't stop us in loving the doctors. We still want our sons and daughters to be doctors. And at the same time, don't we see and hear in the news that fala fala doctor was accused of malpractice? You must have read these things in the news. But that doesn't stop you from loving doctors in the medical profession. So can't we ask the same question about the ulama? What in the world has stopped us from loving the ulama? What in the world has stopped us from loving these scholars in this ilm profession? If you love ilm, you will love ulama. That's the sign. And if you don't love ulama, you don't love ilm. If you love ilm, you will love the ulama. And if you look and read the stories of the early Muslims, you will find really all of them. Anyone who had qubuliyah and acceptance in the sight of Allah, you will find and read about them in their biographies that they had really the love for the scholars. They themselves might not be a scholar, but they had love for the scholars, love for the ulama. Sometimes they would say things like, they'll be so happy that we were to lie down and the ulama can walk over us. Yani this would be their joy. This would be their humility. This would be their ajizi. Yani this would make them feel happy. So much love for the scholars. So much love for the ulama. You know, these titles that sometimes are used, like Mufti and Maulana, and you know, this is again a sign of love. A sign of love that you have. Just like we address the doctor with this word, Doctor XYZ, you'll always call him doctor, always, right? You'll always say the words doctor, right? And so much with so much respect and love. Infinitely more than that, we should have love and respect for the scholars of Deen, the real ulama. It should be you refer to them, you take their title, it should be with love. Love for them, love for the ulama, love for the ilm. And I'll also tell you that if you get love for the ulama in your heart, you will be saved from getting incorrect ilm from the ghair ulama. If you get love for the ulama, the scholars in your heart, you will be saved from getting incorrect ilm from the ghair ulama, those who are not the ulama. And if you don't have the love for ulama in your heart, then some ghere alim, some non-scholar can come up and can dazzle you, bedazzle you, and a person can be misled. They can, you know, they can go over your mind. The ulama were the ones who were supposed to win over our heart. And yes, you know, every person needs improvement. There's always room for improvement. But again, we should imagine that look at the rank that the ulama have. The Prophet said about these ulama, al ulama warasatul anbiya. So our feeling should be what the Prophet said in that hadith. That if I was talking to an ulama, a scholar, I would talk to them in a different way. The ulama are the inheritors. Our heartfelt feeling should be that we remember this guidance, be guided by that guidance. Guided by that guidance of the Prophet Sallallahu to meet them with that same love and respect, the way I would meet someone who is the inheritor of the Prophet Sallallahu. That's the feeling we should have. I'm not saying that we view them as a Nabi, but if they're a waris, they're an inheritor. Waris means they're heirs of the Prophet. So at the very least, I should meet them with the same love and respect that the heir of a Prophet Sallallahu would deserve. So this is ilm, acquiring ilm from the righteous scholars. Now, another thing is that there are many types of ilm. Sometimes it's ilm about the Sharia, sometimes ilm about our business dealings, sometimes it's ilm about marital life, sometimes it's ilm about tazkiyah and spiritual purification. So there are different types of ilm. So for example, again, let's go back to that ayah, in kuntum la ta'lamun, that if you don't know, so that could also mean that if you don't know how to control your tongue, it can also mean if you don't know how to control your anger. Fas'alu ahla dhikr, ask the people of dhikr. It's not just a masail, it's not just legalistic issues. If you don't know how to lower your gaze, ask the people of dhikr. If you don't know how to feel the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask the people of dhikr. If you don't know what the laws are pertaining to your business, ask those ulama who know all the fiqh of business and also are people of dhikr. Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. So we should try to get ilm of deen from the ulama who are muttaqin. This is the path of the righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq that we can acquire this ilm from the righteous and the pious and the muttaqi ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a journey of acquiring ilm a lifelong journey for all of us, such that every day we are able to learn and then put that learning into practice, into amal. And learn also with ikhlas and put that into amal and practice also with ikhlas and sincerity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us up on the day of Qiyamah with this nisbat of being the inheritors and being inheritors of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, of having this nisbat, this azim nisbat that the Prophet mentioned, al-ulama warasatul anbiya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq and the ability that we can follow in the footsteps of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and become helpers and mu'avin, who lend aid to this project of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this project of deen. May Allah ta'ala use all of us for the khidmat and the service of deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also instill within our hearts a love for this ilm of deen and a love for the true scholars of deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant tawfiq that we can maintain these feelings of love in our heart till our very last breath. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us up on the day of Qiyamah in the company of these righteous ulama and mashayikh and awliya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept these intentions and du'as from all of us tonight. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب